For today's presentation, we have Bashar Khan. He's a senior SDET in the Link team. And we have Anshu Agrawal. She's an SDET too, also in the Link team. And then lurking here with us is Ray Wang, also an SDET. And he will provide some expertise and make funny faces at us while we present. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Bashar to kick things off.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ashar Khan. I'll talk about three things. First of all, we'll just go through the introduction about the APIs. Then I'll talk about the audio conversations. And lastly, I'll talk about managing devices. So let's start with a basic introduction about Link client APIs. These are managed APIs which expose several features of Link 2010, such as presence, contact management, groups, conversations. Besides that, we also have WPF and Silverlight controls, which you can drag and drop into your applications. As Guy was mentioning, there's also UI suppression mode in which you can suppress the Link UI and then write full-fledged applications using our object model. So let's move on to the first topic, which is starting audio conversations and conferences. There are three steps which are listed over here, and these are three basic steps that are needed to start any conversation. The first step is to create a conversation, and you can use Conversation Manager object. There's a method called addConversation. Once you call that method, an event is going to fire called conversation added event. And from that event or arguments, you can get the conversation object. The next step is to add a participant with whom you will be communicating with. It's also, again, a simple call called begin add participant, which is exposed on the conversation class. It's also going to trigger an event, add participant event, which you can use to get the participant object. The last step, now you have a conversation with the participant you want to talk to. The third step is to choosing the modality with which you want to communicate with them. The choices you have is instant messaging, and the second is audio-video modality. We're going to talk about audio-video modality over here. So now that you have a conversation with the participant, what you do is from the conversation object, you can get the modality audio-video, and you simply call begin connect method. At this moment, the conversation is going to open up on your side, and SIP invite will be sent to the remote participant. They'll see a toast, and they'll have the ability to accept that toast, and the session is going to connect. So these were the three basic steps to start a simple P2P call. Few things that you need to keep in mind, few things which would be interesting for you, would be different events. For example, conversation added event, we talked about it earlier, participant added event. And finally, when you call begin connect on audio video modality, you may want to monitor the state of the modality. For example, is it connecting? Has it connected or not? For that, you subscribe to modality state changed events. Another event that would be interesting for you is action availability changed event. So for example, as you go through this scenario, different actions may become available. For example, hold becomes available when audio-video modality is connected. And the app is informed that hold is available, hold action is available through this action availability changed event. So now that you have a basic P2P audio-video conversation, you can do other things to extend this conversation. For example, if you want to add another participant, so all you do is repeat step two, which is add a participant to this existing conversation, and your two-party call is going to move to a three-party call. You can keep adding these participants to keep increasing the number of participants in the conference. Another thing you can do is you can get the video channel from the AV modality and call begin start on that. What it does, it adds audio, it adds video to this audio conversation. A lot of this information is available on MSDN as well. The link is over here. You can get more details from this link. Now let's jump to the demo. Let me switch to my screen. I'll wait for a moment for it to connect. You should be able to see my desktop where I have Link client running. Next to it is a small app that I created, which does the three steps that I mentioned in my presentation. So let me first demo you the app, and then we look at the code a little bit in detail. So all it does is I just click the button, conversation window opens up, and it's calling the remote client. At this moment, they're seeing a toast, and I accept it on the client, and the call has connected. So this is the basic P2P audio call. Now let me disconnect this call and show you the steps in the code. So this is, so let me start with the first thing. As soon as the window loads up, I get the link client. This is the first thing I do. This will allow me to access all the link functionality. Second step, basically, is to subscribe to conversation edit event. As I mentioned, these events help the app know what's going on. And here is the first step that I mentioned in the presentation, which is called add conversation. As you can see, it's a simple method call. When you call this method, it's going to trigger conversation edit event. And here, handler for conversation added event. In this event, I'm getting conversation manager event args, which contains the conversation object. So I get this conversation object right over here, and then I what I do is subscribe to participant added event, and then add the participant. So this is adding the participant is step number two. This is going to trigger a participant added event, and I have a code for it right there. So this is the participant added event, and from here I get once again get the conversation, and from the conversation I get the audio video modality. Once you have this audio video modality, all you do is call begin connect method on this modality. At this moment, the conversation window is going to open up on this local client, and the invite will be sent to the remote participant, and the remote participant can accept or reject it. So now this was the basic P2P call. Let's move on to the second part of the presentation. Let me share the presentation with you. The second part talks about device management. For audio-video calls, of course, the devices are very important. You may have more than one device, for example, a headset and a speakerphone plugged to your computer. And for different scenarios, you may want to use these different devices. So Microsoft Link.Model.Device namespace has the methods which allows you to view all the audio and video devices which are connected. And at the same time, it allows you to select a particular device which will be used for the next call. You can also actually change the call, change the device in the middle of the call. For example, move your audio from your speakerphone to your headset by using this active audio device method. So once again, so two key things which are done by this device namespace is to list all the devices. Again, it's a simple method call, which is on device manager to audio devices. It's going to give you a list of audio devices. Similarly, link client.deviceManager.video devices is going to give you a list of video devices. And there is an active video device, an active audio device property that you can set and retrieve from to find what is the active device. So let's move on to the demo for device scenarios. Let me share my screen with you. I'll wait a moment. You should see a link client, and next to it is an app. The app is listing three audio devices which are plugged into my machine, and similar audio devices. At the top, we have the active audio device and active video device. And I can choose a particular device, and I can set it as an active device by simply calling this method. Now, let's look at the code behind this. It's actually pretty simple code, not much to it. Like the sample before, when the window loads up, I get the client, link client, which is going to expose all the link functionality. And the device manager is the key class which allows us to access all the device related methods. And I'm getting it right over here. And the last, the calls to get up active audio device is simply a call device manager.active audio device, and it will give you a device object. And that you can use to enumerate like the priority of the device and the name of the device. And similarly, you can get active video device. Again, a very similar call, device manager.active video device. And lastly, you can get all the audio devices by simply calling the method device manager.audio devices. It's going to give you a list of devices that you can go through, iterate through, and get all the devices. In a similar way, you can also get the video devices. So let's. So this was a presentation about conversations and device management. Now I'm going to hand over to Anshu, who's going to talk about extensibility. Anshu.
Thank you, Ashar. Hi, my name is Anshu, and I'm going to cover extensibility and contextual data in this presentation. Let me be the presenter over here. Okay. Okay, so I need to share the slides first. Okay, then the desktop, right? Okay, sorry about that. Okay.
Next.
Okay, yeah, this is the page I want to show. So, sorry about that. So I'll be covering extensibility and contextual data in this presentation. So first, what is actually a contextual data? Probably you must have heard about it before, but contextual data is the data which you can, it's a context which you can add in when you're messaging with the other party. So you can add some kind of context, and so that you and the sender and the receiver both are on the same page and start talking about that application or some extra things in the IAM conversation window itself. And it comes in the namespace link.model.extensibility, which you can use for both extensibility and contextual data sharing and all. So there are two ways to add the context or the extensibility. First is like you can send and update the context in your existing conversation. So suppose you have the IAM or the conversation window which is already created with the receiver. You can just call this begin send initial context, or you can call begin send context data and add this context in the existing conversation. So the steps to do that would be like you can create a conversation using Conversation Manager, and Ashar has already covered it in his previous slides on how to create a conversation and use the Conversation Manager object to add the conversation. And after that, you can add the context by creating this context type, and in which you can have pretty much any kind of context. You can have your application ID, you can have your application name, you can have all this information. And then you can call begin send initial context or begin send context data. In this, you will just add your context which you have created before and in the existing conversation itself. The important events to keep in mind while doing this is on initial context received and on initial context sent. So you can just fire this event and monitor this event whenever the context is received from the other party or not. And same with context data received and context data sent. So these are the few most important events which we can take advantage of when we are writing contextual data or extensibility in our conversation theme. The second way to do it, so the first way is to add or update in the same existing conversation, and the second way is to add the context in a new conversation window. So while you are creating a conversation window, you can add the context while doing it itself. So you don't have to create the conversation first and then add the contextual data. And how do we do it is like you can call begin start conversation, which launches the conversation window. And Ashar has already covered it in his slide, and part one has like more details on how to call this begin start conversation. And I'll give you a brief, like, you know, kind of code snippets on how we are going to do it in this for this extensibility and contextual conversation. So, and then you have to invite participants, which uses the specified modalities like IM modalities, or if you're using audio video modalities, you can have that too. And you can have, and it has one more parameter for adding contextual conversation context data. So, which is optional by default, like if you don't give that, you are not adding any context. You are just creating like either P2P conversation or audio video conversation. But if you want to take advantage of this extensibility features, this you can use this optional parameter to do this contextual data, add this object in your begin start conversation itself. And to end this, you have to call end start conversation. So with that, I'll go to my next slide. So there are two like most like, you know, very useful things you can do with this extensibility feature is you can dock the conversation in your third party application. So suppose you have your own application, but you don't want like, you know, you want to use that application to have the conversation window docked in it already, so that you don't have to switch like, you know, from your application to the context. To the conversation window and all. So that is one. I'll show it in the demo. How does it look and how can you write code for that? And the second way, way you can take advantage of this extensibility feature is you can have the extensibility pane. So in your conversation window, which is like already created and maintained by Link 2010. You can extend this same conversation window with your own application, and you can share this application with the receiver so that you both can see the same application, and you can just have the common discussion, and you are like, you know, you will make the conversation really fast and some more important than if you have this extensibility pane open. This is also we are going to cover in our demo. And before we go to the demo, like here are a few details you can the links which are there for you for more details on contextual and extensibility features of Link. It has channel 9 link as well, which has a few of the demos which we showed in 2010, which you can refer as well. With that, I would like to move to the demo. And okay, so let me switch to my desktop. Yeah. Okay. So I'll just run this application, and this is my test application, like which we have created just for this demo. So the first demo the first thing I'm going to show you is like how can you dock the conversation conversation window, which is from Link 2010. So you do control. So this is my participant in like the receiver of this conversation. So okay, and then you can start the conversation. So here the conversation is already created, right? So this is how you can get to this, like, you know, by clicking on this the person, like the receiver side, but I'm doing it through the code to show you using model APIs. So here I have the conversation created. Now you can dock this conversation in your own, like, you know, application. So this is my third party application, and I have docked this conversation window in my third party application. This is pretty cool, right? So you can, this is me or hello, and yeah, let's, we have Anshu to receive the message. That's nice. So you can dock the conversation, you can undock the conversation, and this is your third-party application. And I'll show you the code for you, so you can just see. Let me switch back to my code. Okay. So as I mentioned in my slides, I created the, I have the conversation added event, which is like, you know, which was covered by Usher already. So I'll just move to how am I adding the context. So here I have this begin start conversation, which has this additional parameter as I was mentioning, which you can use. You can have it null if you don't want to add like the contextual data, but this is the object I have created, context data, in which you can have like all these different kind of parameters. You can have different subject and like all this information, and I'm passing this context data by while calling begin start conversation. And then and here is the code for this, and then you call and start conversation. So this is from the presentation slide, but this is the code snippet for that. And with that, I'll move on to my next presentation, which will be like for the extensibility. Let me start that slide again. Okay. So here, like, I'll just cover a few more things from my previous, like, demo. You can start the conversation, which is, like, in the already, you can already dock the conversation while starting the conversation. So you, if you select this, your conversation will start in your third-party application. So you can, you don't have to create it first and then dock it. Okay. So, and you can undock it. And I can add the context data, which is like extensibility pane. So I can add context data. So here is the extensibility pane for the link conversation window. You can have anything on this third party application. Right now it's just like, you know, MSW site and just to show you the demo. But you can have pretty much anything. You can write your own application and extend the conversation window. So I'll go to the code snippet for this. Few things to mention over here is like this works only for the extensibility with conversation window, works on the Silverlight only right now. And then the Silverlight application, once you get the app ID, you have to have that app ID from the receiver side and the sender side, so you both are on the same context and you both can see the same application which you have created. So the code for that is here. So here, as I said, that you have like this application ID, which is basically a unique GUID you can use. And this is the application ID you have to have from the receiver side in your registry key and on the sender side. And then you can just call this begin send initial context with this context, with this application ID and all. So on the receiver side, you will see the same application loaded on the conversation window. And I'll show you the registry, how to create the registry key and all over here. So if you see, this is how you create registry in the in Link 2010. You can add the site on your trusted zone, and then you can have this GUID, and you can have this HTML pages, whichever, like whatever web service you have it loaded on, because it's Silverlight and all. And this is, so you can call begin send initial context and send initial context. Here you can also take advantage of the events which we mentioned in the presentation for initial context data sent and initial context data received. Right now we don't have it here in our demo. And this is all about my demo. And with that, I'll hand over the presentation to Kai. Thank you all.
All right, thank you. So to switch back to the slides.
Okay.
So we did the demo.
Yes.
Okay, so we have some additional resources here for everybody. If you've seen previous roundtables, these should look pretty familiar. We've got a developer center. We've got the SDK documentation. There's the forums, where this is where we have all the latest information about the upcoming developer roundtables, as well as it's a great place to go and get your questions answered if you have questions. We have a pretty lively community, and most of the questions get answered, so it's doing pretty well. And lastly, we also have Channel 9 videos, all sorts of videos, including specifically targeted videos on some of the topics that were covered today, such as the contextual conversation and docking. You can go there for more information and, you know, take a few minutes and learn something new. So with that, I want to thank my presenters today for day two of this presentation. It was great. Appreciate your time. It's great. This is the first time we've had folks from the product team be present for this rather than have somebody outside of Microsoft. So that was a great honor for me, at least. So I've got a few questions here that were sent over IM already. And if you have more questions, feel free to keep sending those questions in. So the first question is, when a new audio-video device is added, will Link get notified? So they want to know, is there an event you can subscribe to find out any changes to the device manager, I guess is what it is.
So, Guy, unfortunately, we don't have an event with which you can a new device is plugged in and you would be informed about it. People will have to use the Windows APIs to kind of learn, figure that out. Right now, at this stage, the only APIs that we have will allow you to kind of enumerate the existing devices and kind of set them or unset them, but there is no event.
Okay. So they'd have to do some kind of polling mechanism maybe to see what the differences are.
That's actually a good suggestion, yes. They can keep pulling. The get devices method will give you the audio and video devices, so you can set up a system in which you keep pulling those lists, and as soon as they change, you would know about it.
Okay. And so the next question is, if I have multiple webcams connected to my PC, can I switch to each of them during a conference?
You can call method set active video device, and that will change your camera, but it will also hold the video call. So you will have to kind of unhold that video call or re-add video at the same time. But if you do these two steps together, you will be able to change your video devices during the call.
Really? So that's all programmatically you can do this?
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
So one method would be set active video device, and the other would be to hold the audio-video modality, unhold it, or even add and remove a video channel.
So the questioner said, imagine a security monitoring scenario. So I could imagine there being a conference call with maybe security guards or you know, folks who are monitoring a set of videos, and they would see the video feed switch automatically, and they could carry on some kind of discussion simultaneously.
Yes, yes, that's possible.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually very nice.
Yeah. Okay, those are basically the questions we have at this point. I don't know if anybody wants to ask any more. I've got a question. Around contextual conversations. So you showed us how to construct the registry key, and you kind of showed us some of the content in there. It looked like there was actually a URL, like HTTP, mm-hmm. to the application. So theoretically then, if I get this right, there would be one registry key that anybody could install.
Yes.
So it could be through an actual setup application, or it could just be they double-click the reg key. But then essentially now they're registered for that application. So the application is hosted at some central place, like some central website, and then anybody just basically installs the reg key and it points to the website. Is that all correct?
Yes, okay. That's like just one registry key install, and you will just like, you know, I can show you here. Okay, I need to share my desktop. Let me show you how do you do it.
So that way, so each individual user, they're not actually, you know, copying files or downloading anything specifically. Okay.
Nope. So if you I just created this registry key. Suppose who is chatting, this is the registry key. And if you see the details, it's like how you have to add that site on your trusted zone and then internet settings and all. Right. You can add this GUID and you have this HTML pages. And once you install this registry, so you just have to run this registry on this machine. And you pretty much can see that who is chatting will be here on your options pane. So who is chatting is here. And then you can just open it and you can just see the web page which was hosted on your own.
So this is instantaneous. You don't reboot or you don't have to restart a link?
No, you don't have to exit. You don't have to do anything. It's just like whenever you run the registry key, you can just open up the extensibility pane in the conversation window.
And so that way anybody can just immediately start interacting with this contextual data in a conversation.
Yes, and but with from the receiver side also you have to run this registry, or you can use the code to add this context like I showed you here, the app ID. If you have the app ID for that registry key, like we have it here, like this is the app ID. So you can have this GUID and you can copy it in your code as an application ID, and then you can share this context in while calling begin send initial context or begin send context data. You can just add this context and start conversation.
Interesting. So that's pretty easy actually.
Yes, it's pretty easy and it has a lot of advantage because extensibility, you can have pretty much any application which you two of the people can like, you know, discuss on that application together, so you don't have to
do
the remote desktop and everything.
So in our previous roundtable we talked about a contact center scenario. There was a little bit of talk about contextual conversations. But in that case, so in the previous roundtable, I believe we opened Notepad as so you can actually within the application you can start new processes. So we'd open Notepad, which had some. So we're just imagining the scenario, like where you could take this. But so instead of opening a separate application, you could actually open up this extension panel right there in your conversation, and it's all integrated together. Yeah.
Yes.
So, excuse me. So that's another optional way to implement your contact center scenario, where maybe that contextual data would be information about the caller.
Mm-hmm. And we have few adoption and training kits which are already there, like conversation translator and all, which are implemented using extensibility pane itself. Nice. So you can use that conversation translator and all different kind of application, or you can write your own application and add it. So
that reminds me, there's a tabbed conversations as well, and that actually uses docking.
Yep, that uses docking. So both, like, you know, docking is like docking and this extensibility are part of this model API, so you can definitely take advantage of it.
Very interesting. All right. So, well,
I have a question. Actually. Okay. It's about the conversation. So imagine I have already have an IM conversation. How do I add audio and video modalities to the existing conversation?
So the concept of conversations is that you have a conversation with participants, and then you have multiple modalities that you can choose to talk with. In your case, you're saying that you already have an IM modality with the remote participant. So in order to add audio video, all you have to do is from the conversation object, get the audio video modality, and just call connect on that audio video modality. And with this, you will get an IM and audio conversation, both IM and audio modality, both in the same conversation for your remote user.
Okay. Then I have a question for the modalities, because there are modalities for both the remote participant and myself, the cell participant.
Yes.
So, why have you connect both modalities, or just need to just connect the one from one side?
Most of the actions would be on your local participants' audio-video modalities. For example, if you want to add audio-video, then you get from the conversation, you get the audio-video modality, which would be for the local participants, and you call connect on it. As soon as you call connect on your side, the remote participant is going to see a toast, and what they will do is they will call accept on their audio-video modality, on their self audio-video modality, and the call is going to connect. Did that answer your question?
Okay, got it. So every time you want to do any action, you just do it on your self modality, right? You don't have to worry about the remote, the modalities for the remote participant.
Yes, in most cases that's true. You can also monitor the remote participants' modalities for extra information, but most of the time, in fact, I can say almost all of the time you're looking at your local modality to do most of the actions.
So monitoring the remote participant's modality, what usefulness is it? So is it maybe you can tell that they don't support video sharing or that kind of thing?
It could be that, or you can also look at whether they have certain properties like mute or not muted, those type of things. But most of the time, you're actually looking at the local modality. Yeah.
Interesting.
Then I have another interesting question. Supposing the conference, we have multiple participants. Can I just use remote participants' modality to monitor who is talking right now?
I don't know about that. I'll have to get back to you on it. But again, in conference, again, you will have multiple participants, and each participant will have its own audio-video modality, so you can monitor that audio-video modality. I'm not sure whether it exposes the ability of a dominant speaker or not.
Okay.
Yep. Interesting. Okay. So I don't think we have any more questions at this point. So thank you, everybody, for participating. I hope this was useful. And we'll see you again next time.